glad that we are in this month of serving. But it's not just a month of serving. It's not just October, serve month. It's serve all year. It just happens that we're focusing on our service to Him in the month of October. And it seems like Levi's character, because this is not the way Levi really is. Just in case y'all are wondering, that is not how Levi really is. But it seems like Levi's character was a little distracted with Levi's character. And you know, when we get distracted with ourselves, when our eyes gets off the prize, we can miss the mark. Arnold Palmer was a great, great golfer. Made a great drink, you know, lemonade and iced tea. But he was a great golfer. And when he came to the final hole of the 1961 Masters Tournament, you know, the green jacket thing, he was leading by one stroke when he came to that final hole. And he got up and he just made, one of those sweet tee shots. Didn't make the ting that it makes right now because they're all steel golf clubs, but it made a little another sound, but it was just sweet. He was on his way to winning the Masters, and as he approached the gallery, he saw a friend. He recognized his friend, and his friend stuck out his hand and wanted to greet him, and he went over and saw that friend, and he shook the man's hand, and the man said to him, "Congratulations." And at that moment, Arnold Palmer calls. My eyes got off the prize. I knew I was distracted, and he got out of his groove. His next shot into the bunker. His next shot over the green. He missed the putt, and he missed the Masters. When our eyes get off the prize, we sometimes miss the Master. The best way to recognize our call from Him is to keep our eyes on Jesus. The best way to focus on His call to our hearts, and He has called each and every one of us, is to look to Jesus. Jesus, He is our Master, and He has called to each and every one of us. He has established our faith, and we need to look to Him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith," and really the reason that we serve is because He has called us to faith in the Master, "on whom our faith depends from the beginning to the end and all the way through." We recognize in the series title, "Whose Team Are You On?" Who is the focus? His name is Jesus. I have a sweet daughter in love named Alex. And Alex and Wesley, they have a dog, a schnocker. That's a schnauzer cocker blend. And Oliver is a real hit at the office. Oliver goes to the office with Alex most days. Now, some of you go, "What kind of a place is it where your dog goes to the office?" Well, it's a place about dogs. Because she works for Southeastern Guide Dogs. And of course, those are dogs that are trained to go into service to assist those with PTSD or for the blind primarily. A great, great organization. And one of the things that I've come to understand is as you train a dog for service, the first thing that they will often do is they will get the dog on one side of the room, the master on the other side of the room, and between the two they will place food. You see, the master then calls to the subject, to the dog. And if the dog goes to the food, he's a goner. But when the dog hears the voice and focuses on the master, the dog will come to success in his service. We are called by our master to serve. And if we focus our attention, if he comes into view, if we correct our vision to listen to him and to keep our eyes on him, we are sure to come to success in him. But why? Why has he called us to serve him? Let me give you a few reasons today. The first one is to share him with others. It's not about us. It's sharing him, Jesus Christ, with others. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. And when we keep him as the focus, when Jesus is the focus and others come into view and you are in last place, you'll have Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. And he will bring joy to your heart when you keep others at the foremost of your thoughts to share Jesus with others. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love," circle that word love, "and the word serve," circle that word serve, "serve one another." You know, we're all called to serve. And you can serve without love. But my friends, you need to understand this. You cannot love without serving. And Christ has called us to share his love with others. That means that he has called you and I, all of us, to serve. He has called us to come and connect with one another, to live life with one another and for one another, so that we are willing to do what he did, which was to lay down his life for his friends. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says it this way: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." I know some of you in this room would lay down your life for your friends that are right close by. But he has called each and every one of us his friends. As a matter of fact, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever," he calls you to be their friend and to lay down our lives for our friends that he has brought us to. And you go, "Well, you know, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary gal. What really difference can I make?" Well, let me tell you, you make all the difference. In the Great Depression, there are still schools of higher education that kept on progressing. And there are other sports other than football. I know that may surprise some of you, especially those of you like me that watch college football Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, and forget the NFL. There were some Penn State fans in the house. I heard them. And there's a Bama fan on the front row. I know that. And a Georgia fan on the front row. There are some things. But there are other sports other than football. And back in the Great Depression, there were 9 young men who came together. They were 9 ordinary young men at the University of Washington. And they really had a goal and a desire. Their desire was to succeed. Rowing. Now, we just hosted the World Rowing Championships, Cross I-75, over at Nathan Benderson Park. And it was incredible to see some of the skills and the talents, the efforts and the energies of those young people from around the world. But these 9 very ordinary men came together, and in a book entitled The Boys on the Boat, their coach recalled these 9 men talking about their fears, their deficiencies, their worries, and their aspirations, and their commitment to one another. And as they committed to one another, as one committed to another, they came together as one. And they beat Harvard. They beat Yale. They beat University of California, Berkeley. And they won the NCAA. They won the championship. When they came together, they not only won in America, but in 1936, they went to Hitler's Germany and they won the world. They won the gold medal at the Olympics. When nine ordinary men came together, laid their lives down for one another, they accomplished something great. And my friends here in this room, if you will pledge your lives and lay them down one for another, you can do something greater for the kingdom of heaven. That's okay, Jordan. You can get excited about that. I'm with you. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. So I guess the question would be, who are you living for? Are you living for yourself? Or are you focused on Jesus and living for others? You see, when we serve, we not only share him with others, but we demonstrate our values. Each of us have our values, and he has entrusted us with sharing his love, his grace, and his word, his values with others, so that the world will know who you are. And values are something that you live by, that you live for, and they're something that you are willing to die for. When you will stand and give your everything, your values, the commitment of your hearts. That's why Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have, circle that word again, love. Love, love for one another. You see, love ignites another word. And Dan Alderfer wrote these words that I have put into your notes. And there's three letters with some fill in the blanks. And P stands for passion. Oh, we like that word, passion. And it's passion is not just about love, but it is about love. When you love something, truly love it, it lights a fire in your heart. And you desire to do for one another. You see, I would say it this way. Love does. You know, there was a little book back in the 70s, Love Is. No, but Love Does. I love my sweetheart, and I will do just about anything for her, including getting out of her space when she had to read the last 1,270 pages for her classes this week. Oh, dear Jesus. You can pray for her. She's spending the week in Springfield. You can pray for me because I won't be with her. But love does for one another. Passion. It ignites passion. Because, and if you look at the little descriptor to the right, what we do is what we really value. And that demonstration of what we value is what we believe. That's the first B. B is for belief. What we value enough to do, it tells everyone else what you really believe. If you're all about yourself, people are going to know it. They're going to go, oh, that's what he does, that's what she does. But if you're all about the Master and his joy, they will know that too. Because it affects our behavior. That's the second B. It changes who you were to who you are to who you will be. What we really believe shapes who we become. You see, he is the author, we read it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, of our faith. And service demonstrates our value by proving our faith. And when our faith moves into action, you can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a couple of verses here, verses 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 is an incredible verse that says that if we have faith, if we demonstrate those values, it will provide for the needs of others. Oh, it's kind of like Pastor Holly was just talking about fusion. And some of your faith and your values of investing into our youth are going to provide for their needs. And then it flows into verse 13 that says, when you do that, it will cause others to praise God. And the young people said, praise God. See, when you meet the needs, when Pastor Tommy took a team out to the Fountains of Hope and he shared with them on Thursday night. And this is young people and middle-aged people. It's a great thing. They were just out there loving on them, and their love tanks got charged up. It makes people just say, oh, thank you. Praise God for you. It demonstrates the value of your hearts, your faith, and your faithfulness causes others to rejoice and focus on Jesus. So here's the question that I would have here. Do your values or does your service demonstrate and reflect His grace, His grace, and your faith? If it does, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because that's what we are longing to do. As we progress in our service, as we focus on the Master, it's really to become a different person. Because as much as I love you, I want to change. And I want you to change. Because, in the words of a very old little chorus, to be like Jesus. You see, as we serve, we become like our Savior. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to become like Him. And what did He say? Well, in Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7, but really 5 and 7, it says, let this mind, let these thoughts be yours, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made Himself of no reputation. In other words, He didn't worry about what anybody else thought. Taking the form of a bondservant. That's not just someone who came for hire, worked a little bit, took his pay and went home. No. A bondservant is someone who committed for life and laid down their life. If we're going to become like Jesus, it means that. We don't worry about what others think. It doesn't really matter. You see, Levi's character was a little worried about what others thought, what he was going to look like. But this means if we're going to become like Jesus, we're not worried about our appearances. We're worried about His call to our hearts and our focus on the prize. Pastor shared a great message 2 weeks ago when he talked about taking up the towel and not getting to choose who you get to serve. And in John chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, it says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, that's all of the dust and the dirt and the dung and the stuff, for I have given you an example. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you and for me, because we need to become like Jesus, that you should do just as I have done to you. We are to become more like Him. He wants to revolutionize our hearts, our lives. He wants to shape us, remake us. You know, like the advertisements, new and improved. He wants the new and improved you from day to day to be more like Him. Not just to be stuck in your rut. This is the way I was yesterday. This is the way I'll be tomorrow. This is the way we've always done it. Can't do it any other way. Maybe I should die. That's kind of, some people go through life like that. No, it's to become like Jesus. Jesus, who gave His all and said at the end of His life, not my will, but thine be done. Others ridiculed Him. Others thought Him foolish. They wanted Him to take power and to wrest control. But He laid His life down willingly. He didn't worry what anyone else thought. He laid aside the garb of glory and robed Himself in humanity and flesh, washed the disciples' feet. He didn't worry. I guess my question here would be, are you willing to look foolish for the sake of the King and His kingdom. As we serve, it doesn't matter what we look like. It's just to become like Him. Not just human beings, but humans becoming more like Him. You see, if you are willing to become foolish in the eyes of another, you're just about powerful enough to change the world. And I mean that with all my heart. Because He has given each and every one of you a specific purpose, specific equipment, specific giftings. He has made you, created you, called you, furnished everything that you need to fulfill a divine purpose, a divine plan that He has for you. And He wants you to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill our purpose. That's really what we do is we serve the Master. It's to fulfill our purpose that He has already created and planned for you and for me. We quote Jeremiah 29:11 a lot here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Each and every one of you. He has a destiny. He has created you. He wants to empower you to become all of the man and the woman that you can be so that you can share heaven with earth, pillage hell, and populate heaven. That's the purpose He has called us to. Every one of us. You know, it's better to give than to receive. Sometimes we get caught in that. Oh, it's like the dog running to the food. We get distracted. But it's better to give than to receive. I'm so glad that this morning that you heard the announcement Pastor Holly gave about the moms group that are going out to the beach and they're training their littlest ones that we need to give and to fulfill our purpose, even as a little child. To give that cup of cold water and even to clean up the beach. To demonstrate to others that we are stewards of His earth. We are servants together. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Yes, we have to believe in Him, but we need to do good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a purpose for you this afternoon, this evening, tonight, tomorrow morning, mid-morning, tomorrow at noon, early afternoon, late afternoon, dinner time, evening. God has a purpose for you, and it's to be listening for the voice of the Master. To accomplish your purpose. And some of us, we've read the books, The Purpose-Filled Life. Rick Warren, a great author, he talks about how God has a plan and a purpose for us. And you know, your plan and your purposes change. All through life's journey, He equips you differently from day to day. You know, I'm a little different now than I was at 12. At 12, I was up visiting my grandparents, and I was on Manitoulin Island, and we had a neighbor who was not really nice. Well, I shouldn't say he wasn't really nice, but he wasn't particularly fond of young people running through his yard, so he built a fence around his yard. Nobody else had a fence around their yard, but he built a fence around his yard to keep his yard just so. And they were doing a cattle drive down the road, Perryvale Road on Manitoulin Island, when I was 12 years old, and one of the little calves broke off from the herd. It was under a year old bull, and it was in the neighbor's yard in the fence, and it would have made a mess. So my grandfather said, hop the fence and get that cow out of there. Now, many of you know I wear cowboy boots, but I wasn't raised the cowboy way. But lickety split, I jumped up over that fence, The Holy Spirit must have been on me because I rode that calf right down to its knees. My grandfather handed me a rope. I got it around its hooves. I bent over to get it up around its neck. It came up with its head, hit me across the flat of the head. I saw stars. Maybe I should have had the concussion protocol begun right then. But I didn't. I just kept on going. That was my purpose for the day. God had a purpose to protect my neighbor's property. And it was an opportunity, and God has an opportunity, and you need to step into it. Because you don't know what that opportunity is going to lead to, but God does. You need to listen to that voice as he calls you. Son, daughter of the Most High, step into the work that I have specifically created for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given you special abilities. In other words, we're all different. And we are to help each other so that we can demonstrate God's blessing. My question here would be, are you seeking his destiny for your life? You see, as we fulfill the purpose from day to day, he leads us to something higher, something greater, something stronger, something deeper, something wider, something so incredible that it blows your mind when you look at it. When you zoom all the way back and focus in on him, he will blow your mind. We have a young man here in the church. His mama's a great mama. She loves him, and she brings him here, and he just loves Jesus. He loves Jesus so much that when he goes to play soccer, he'll be singing away. And his mom says, get your game face on. He's just blessing the Lord as he's running down the side. Oh, you're doing that really well. He's encouraging the other team. I love Jason. This week I heard a story of Jason, whose father is not yet a believer. He said, Dad, it's okay. I love Jesus enough for both of us. Are you loving Jesus enough for both of you? For all of you? For the purpose that he has created for you? Because do I believe that Jason's dad will come to love Jesus like Jason does? You better do. As you serve him, he longs to reach down and to bring his blessing to your life. He longs, as you fulfill your purpose, for you to earn your reward. He longs to look into your eyes and say, well done, my good, faith-filled, and faithful servant. He longs. It's not about the credit. It's really not about, you know, Levi's character, he wanted the, oh yeah, y'all know exactly who I am and how I am. But you know, if that's the way it really works, Matthew chapter 6 says, so that when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, or as to the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, if you can receive your reward from man, or your reward from God, which would you choose? God, all day, every day, and all through eternity. That's because he wants to give you a reward that's so much greater, so much fuller. Some of us have, because I know some of you here, you have talents that are so big. It's unbelievable how God has gifted you, equipped you. And some of you, you go, you know what, Pastor, I just have this little wee talent. It's how we steward the talent that determines our reward. In the parable of the talents, that was really just a measurement of finance in those days, but it applies to us when we talk about the talents, the things that we have, as we use them for the Lord. It's not about the credit at all. My younger brother Rod was here this week, and we laughed as we told stories. You know, it's much safer to tell stories in front of your dad when you're in your 50s than when you're in your teens. Dad was present for some of those stories this week. We look back at an age and a stage where my grandfather back up on Manitoulin Island wanted a dock built. And we went out. The water was so cold that nothing grew, so you could see to the bottom. And like 68 to 72 degrees would be the maximum warmth of the water. So we would go out and we would dive down 8 or 10 feet and put a cable around a log. And then we would hook it back, clamp it up, and hook it to the boat. That's the sign of a 9.9 Evinrude that was built maybe back in the 1800s. Not really, but it took like an hour to pull the log back from the island just across the way. And then we would get it back, we would cut it, we would wrap it together, strap it together, we would put spikes down into it to hold the crib, and then we would fill the crib with the rocks, the limestone that was there, and it was a secure dock. It's actually stood there for the last 40 years. The government dock's been replaced at least 3 times. And after it was built, my grandfather used to tell the story of Ruthie Golder building his dock. Ruthie was the one who would bring down tea and his toast when he was overseeing the supervision of the construction of the dock. Ruthie Golder got the credit. That's okay. Because I was doing the will of my grandfather who was on earth. Are you doing the will of your father who is in heaven? Because if it doesn't matter who gets the credit, you'll receive the reward. You'll receive that reward because Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23 says, his master said to him, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over just a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Master, Jesus, others, and you. If you will serve the Master simply because he calls and your eyes are on him, he will meet every need, and one day you will hear those words. Place for you eternally. I'm looking for that day when I will receive, and I trust that you will receive that reward, and we will be together for eternity. For eternity. It begins with answering his call and then simply doing your best to keep your eyes on the prize. He'll take care of the rest. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. I want to pray a little prayer, and I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to answer your call. I want you to change my life. Make me more like you. Help me to do my best to serve you every day so that I will hear you say, well done. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Everyone stand, please. I'm going to invite the prayer ministers to come. And if you prayed that prayer and you really mean it, the prayer ministers are here to pray with you and for you. We want to give you a book that says, now what? If you'll stop out at the Fresh Start desk, we'll make sure that we get that into your hands. It's just a little guidebook to understand the new life that happens when you answer His call. And if you have a need in your heart or in your life, the prayer ministers are here to pray with you and for you. And the communion tables are open on the right and on the left. And as we begin to pray and to praise, I just invite you to join us as we together celebrate what God has done. There's not going to be a formal benediction. I'm going to pray one more prayer of blessing. If you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. I invite you to stop back by the VIP room. We have some other gifts for you. We want to bless you. The pastor would say, come back next week. I want a shot at you. Some of you are laughing because you know that's the truth. Let's just pray together. And I invite you to just open your hands as a sign of receiving His blessing. Lord, I pray that You would fill up every empty vessel, that You would fill us to overflowing, those who have answered Your call. I thank You for that. And now I pray that You would rain down upon us Your blessing, Your pleasure, and allow us to serve You, doing our very best. May You be glorified. Bless the elements as we celebrate communion. For all those that are friends and followers, I pray Your blessing on them as we celebrate together. Lord, may this week we serve You with everything that we have and everything that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Come for prayer. Let's praise the Lord. Celebrate together. God bless you.